This is Christian Audio Vision cassette number OD45. This recording was made at the Priory Church of Christ the King in Bramley Road, Cockfosters, on Monday the 14th of January 1980. The speaker this evening will be Ruth Carter Stapleton, and our meeting will be led by Dom Benedict.
Chapter 8, and when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." Loving Jesus, we thank you for having taken our infirmities and borne our diseases.
Thank you. do sing, Alleluia. To you we praise you and worship you. The crucified Lord, the risen Lord, living here in our midst, indwelling your people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are here right now in our midst, and that you are the same yesterday and today and forever. You are the same Lord who walked the hills of Galilee and strode through Judea and rode into Jerusalem, there to be crucified for us and to rise again. We thank and praise you, living Lord Jesus, that you are coming back again, and that we have that great day to look forward to. And we pray, Lord, tonight that you'll make us, each one, more able to work to bring in your kingdom here on earth, to reign in us as our King, that our lives may glorify you, that we may be set free from things that hold us back, so that we may bring glory to you. We worship you, Lord, glorious King, the Prince of Peace. Praise your name. Alleluia. Praise you.
We are very grateful to Ruth Carter Stapleton and Cliff Caston, who have dropped in on England for 2 days on their way to the Middle East and then the Far East. We're very grateful to them having come here tonight to speak to us about inner healing, and not only to speak to us, but to pray for inner healing. And I had the joy of hearing again Ruth speak this afternoon in London. And the word thought which comes to me is very much this. She doesn't sort of give us theories about people who are crippled and broken in life and what may be the explanations. And she speaks to us out of a living ministry, out of the experience of being used by God to heal hundreds and thousands of people who are deeply crippled in life, and who have been changed, and sometimes very rapidly changed by the Lord, touched by the Lord, in situations which seem quite impossible. And I think that's very important. You know, we're not interested in sort of theory by itself. Theory by itself isn't much use to crippled people. But what we're seeing in the healing ministry now is the Lord working with power again, and really touching people, so that lives are being transformed spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and indeed physically also, and sometimes transformed rapidly. And the Lord has been using Ruth very powerfully in this ministry. So we're going to listen to someone, not just sort of speculating, but someone who'll be telling us about, you know, the work God has been doing through her. You can read about it in her 2 books, which you'll also find here. And she will be praying with us afterwards, and perhaps that, I'm sure, will be the high point of our evening. And it is just that, the wonderful thing, God is doing great things. I expect God to do great things here tonight. We believe that he does great things. The Holy Spirit is working with power. And I've had the joy of meeting many people whom the Lord is using, and using with power, in the healing ministry. But Ruth, he does seem to be using in a very special way, and it is a great joy for us to be able to listen to you and to be joined with you in ministry. Thank you, Ruth. We'll just say a little prayer for her. We'll just say a little prayer for her first, shall we? That the Lord may touch her, anoint her to speak to us, and that we may hear what he has to say to us through her. Jesus, we thank you for Ruth. We thank you for her ministry. We thank you for you having used her to help and heal so many people. We thank you for the spreading of your healing ministry in all the churches. We thank you that your healing ministry and love is crossing the division among churches. We thank you that it's a Baptist who's coming here to speak to us tonight. And Jesus, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon Ruth and anoint her for her ministry tonight. Send your Holy Spirit upon her with gifts of teaching. Send your Holy Spirit upon her with gifts of healing, gifts of wisdom. And Jesus, send your Holy Spirit upon us too, that we may hear what you have to say to us through her word, that we may receive any healing touch from you which you wish us to receive through her ministry. Could we sing, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on her?
Spirit of the
said it was too cold up here, I should put my coat on. I've had a little experience with cold weather lately. I left the United States 2 days ago, but the day before I left, I went to Iowa. That's a state in the United States way up in the north. And it was 40 degrees below zero with the chill factor. So the first night I was there, they said the boiler broke and there was no heat in the motel. But they changed me to another room thinking it was a little bit better. And I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I called and I said, are you sure there's not another room? They said, no, but we'll bring 3 blankets and a pot of coffee. Well, that night, my plane was grounded in Chicago. So in order to get back to Texas to catch the flight to get to England, I had to hop a cargo plane. And I got on the plane. It was a great big hall of a plane filled with all of these giant boxes. And the man started to turn the airplane on, and he says, my gracious, there's no heat in the plane. But I said, thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I've been praising the Lord ever since I got to Iowa. And I managed it, and I finally got home. So, I mean, I just kind of laughed when they said, there's a little bit of trouble in the auditorium where we're going to speak. You know, the boiler's broken. I said, oh, yeah, so... brought my coat with me. I thank God for this fur coat. I don't feel ashamed to wear it a bit. But the warm and loving faces that I've seen and the warmth I've had since I've been here tonight by far make up for the weather. And I'm so glad to be here and so glad that we can share together. You might not like a lot of things that I may say tonight because I'm here to tell you that there's nothing real special about me. And I don't know whether you are acting like there's something special about you, but there is. And anything that I do, you can do. Anything that I say, you can say. Any ministry I have, you can have. And this is what I think has happened in the Christian community, is that we individuals have not really caught the vision of the commission of Jesus Christ for each one of us that profess his name, that believe in his death on the cross, the forgiveness of sins, and that power that comes through the Holy Spirit for those that believe. All things are possible with God. And all things are possible with the ones of us who believe in Jesus Christ if we offer ourselves to be that instrument or that channel of his healing power, a channel of his love, a shower of mercy, a giver of life to each other. And I know I've experienced it so much in my life, not feeling worthy to go out and minister, not feeling worthy to pray for the sick. I'm a sinner. Sometimes I get in the depths of despair. Sometimes I have problems that I can't overcome. Sometimes I get bogged down in temptations and I can't resist and yield. And I come down on myself very hard. And I can remember one time when I was talking to a friend of mine, a spiritual friend, and I said, I'll never get in that pulpit again. I mean, who am I to think I can get up and tell other people how to live their life? And my friend says, Ruth Stapleton, let me tell you one thing. Is there any place in the Bible that says that the human beings are supposed to stand up and tell how wonderful they are? He said, you get up in that pulpit and all you are ever called on to do is to tell how wonderful He is. He is the healer. He's the source of all good things. He is that abundance of love. And because He has come and He has overcome, He has overcome for us. And so this is what we have to do. Keep our eyes on Him as He works in His mighty way to gradually, day by day, perfect us. I can remember an experience I had pretty while ago. I was teaching my young son's Bible school class. And I was talking to these little teenagers. They were about 12, 10, 12, 13. And they were just at that stage that they loved to say those naughty words. You know, they just thought it was so cute, you know. And every now and then you would hear them take the Lord's name in vain. I don't know, for some reason, they loved the way they would say, Jesus Christ, you know. And it just got to be real cute with them. And so for the lesson of that night, I said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's each one commit ourselves to go from today until Bible school tomorrow and not say one ugly word. And let's promise that if we do, we will confess it and we will wash our mouth out with soap and water. We'll help each other. We'll come here and in our class tomorrow, we'll use soap and water and do all that washing. Oh, they thought that was just hilarious. That night I got home and my in-laws were visiting. That always made for kind of a tense situation anyway. And I don't know what it was, but something flipped and my husband and I got in a terrible argument. And then it went from an argument to a real fuss. And finally we had to go in the bathroom and close the door. That was the only way we could find any privacy with all those kinfolks there. And we were in the bathroom just fussing and fussing. Finally, when we came out, I went in my bedroom. And my littlest one, Michael, came in there and he says, Mother, did you wash your mouth out with soap and water while you were in there? Well, I was so irritated with my husband, and I just took it out on Michael, and I said, no, and leave me alone. Don't talk to me. And a minute, he came back in there, and I was in the bed. He said, Mother, you sleep? I said, no. Mother, are you going to wash your mouth out with soap and water? And I turned over, and I said, Michael, would you go to bed and leave me alone? And he left, and in a few minutes, he came back, and he pulled on me again. He says, Mama, don't you practice what you preach? I said, all right, come on, Michael, and get the soap. I went in the bathroom, and he washed my mouth out with soap and water. I have found that many times, I don't practice what I preach. But I do know what to preach. I do know the way we are to live. I know that we were created in the image of God. And I know that God created us for the purpose of being transformed into that image of His Son, Jesus. And I know what we have to do is to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to go back into the New Testament and read those red letter words and get to know that man and get to know his heart. He was the expression of perfect love. Now, we're called on to be that expression of perfect love. We're not that. I preach that we should be, and I know that I'm not. But in my heart, I desire to be that expression of perfect love. I desire to grow to that place whereby all of the broken relationships in my life can be healed through forgiveness, through Jesus. I desire that I go back and think of every person that I've ever hurt or that's ever hurt me and have these experiences reconciled. I desire to find those points of anger that are triggered in me and find that root cause of what makes me angry. I desire to get to the core of my jealousy. I've come to the place that I'm willing to say to myself and before everyone, there is no problem outside of myself. And when I get angry with you, it's because there is something within me that's been triggered, a flaw within me. When I judge you, that's because there is something I see in myself that I don't like. It's recognizable in you. I look at Jesus, and Jesus didn't react to other people. He responded. He responded to situations and circumstances in life. No matter what they did to him, no matter how much they criticized him, no matter how much they spit on him, he never ever got angry with anyone who did anything to him. He loved them. He got angry with that person out there that did something against that other person out there. He got angry when they were disrespectful in his father's house. But never for any personal reason did he get angry because of what was done to him. You know, even at the very end when they put him on the cross, he realized that they were motivated by something far beyond their desire. Something deep within those people that were hanging him on the cross was motivating them. And he knew it. And he says, Father, they don't know what they're doing. They don't understand what they're doing. Forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. He could look at the prostitute. And he didn't. He never said, oh, what a dirty, vile sin you're committing. No, he loved him. Because he saw that their need was to have love, the right kind of love. When he saw the woman at the well, he didn't judge and condemn her. But he said, you thirst, and I can give you living water so that you'll never thirst again. You've already been married 5 times, and you're living with someone that's not even your husband now. He saw that deep hunger in her for life and for love. And this is a message that he wants us to grow into and understand. That everything we see our fellow man do, there is a reason or a root cause that causes them to do that thing that's despicable, that's unattractive, that's sinful. There is that root cause that forces and motivates them. And you know, I don't believe that we can ever get to that place that we have the attitude of looking at our fellow man with that judgment and with that condemnation until we get to the place that we can look at our own self and in our own life with that judgment toward ourselves and with that condemnation. That means that I believe we begin in our Christian walk by getting in touch with ourselves, forgiving ourselves. Knowing those weak areas in our life, and instead of hating them and abhorring them, to embrace them as a part of our personality. When we embrace them or accept these negative things within ourselves, it doesn't mean that we condone it and plan to live with it for the rest of our life. But perfect love will diminish any negative. And as you can embrace it as a part that's unhealed within you, and as I can embrace it as a part that's unhealed within me, that love that I give forth to that negative within me dissipates it. And it has no power over me. So we can see ourselves sometimes as a little child inside, reacting to life. A little hurt child. You know, psychiatrists and psychologists so oftentimes tell us that the potential for our negative pattern in life or our positive pattern in life is more or less formed by the time we are 5 years old. So what we need sometimes is to get that little five-year-old child healed inside. And what happens to us in those first 5 years? We don't have a lot of relationships, do we? Usually it's just that little clique of our own family circle. But we learn to love, or we learn to hate. We learn to manipulate and control. We learn to have temper tantrums. We learn deep guilt. We sometimes get our feelings hurt. We feel rejected. We feel pushed out. We learn aloneness. We learn confusion. Or we learn great joy, and we learn giving. Depending upon the conditioning of those early years, we began to slowly form that pattern for life. And now we become adults, and we say as a cop-out, well, that's just the way I am. Well, you don't have to be that way. I used to say it all the time. I was just born with a bad temper. I was just born with a short fuse. I never have had patience, and I never will have patience. You name it, I was born with it. And then I discovered a Jesus that desired for me to be set free from myself and from the conditionings of my childhood and the conditionings of my parents and the conditioning of my environment. And bit by bit, and prayer by prayer, and year by year, there has been a process of slow changing. And there are certain things I used to react violently to, and I have these experiences to happen, or a certain type person to come into my life, and I get all ready to react, and nothing happens. And I realize, oh, that's an area that's been healed. There are other areas that I think have been healed, and all of a sudden I am amazed at myself at the terrible reaction I have. But if I can learn to say, but that's an area that's unhealed. One of my great areas was the area of feeling rejected. I've been working on that area for a long, long time, going back and praying for those I felt rejected me. And I've been having a terrible hard time with this, having an attitude of unconditional love. You know, after I started going out and ministering, I found that it was very easy to have unconditional love for strangers. I used to be even a little pompous, really amazed at myself that someone would come in a strange tan for a counseling situation, and they'd tell me these grotesque things about their life, and I didn't even judge them. I felt nothing but God's love for them. And I says, God loves you in spite of everything that you've ever done. And I believed it, and I meant it. And I was able to pray for them, and I was able to communicate that unconditional love to that person. And I many times saw that person experience real healing because they believed me and they trusted me. And I was communicating Christ's love, and that Christ's love touched that hurting area and that guilt, and they were set free. And I thought, how great that I have this unconditional love. And then I would finish my mission and I would go home. And I would become irritated at the drop of a hat at every single thing every member of my family did. I can remember I used to think I could really be a saint if I just had 4 different children than the ones I've got. You know, we really don't have to go to foreign fields to be tested and tempted and to work out these areas of our life, because the best place to work it out is your own home with those that you're closest to. Someone said to me once, I didn't like it when I first heard it, love that person just like they are, and God will do the changing. I'd rather try to change them because I usually know where they need to be changed. But as many times as I've tried, I really never have accomplished too much. I can remember back this terrible, terrible fight that, well, it was a verbal fight that my husband and I were having. And I remember that fuss, it started on a Sunday afternoon. I guess we both got bored. And it went through Sunday afternoon and Sunday night and into Monday. And then I remember I couldn't wait for him to get home from work Tuesday because I had thought of a lot more things. By Tuesday, I had forgotten what the fuss started about because we were now into in-laws and going back, way back, you know, to the very beginning. Dirty pool, they call it, dirty fighting. By Wednesday, we were still into it. And I had this one son. He wasn't religious at all. In fact, I don't know. I always hate to judge a person's spiritual life, but I didn't think that Scotty was a Christian at the time. But anyway, on Wednesday afternoon, I remember there was a fire in the fireplace, and my husband and I, we were still going at it. And Scotty came out there, and he said, "Mother, do you believe in prayer?" I said, "Of course I believe in prayer. I mean, here I am, one of the world's great speakers going all over the world, you know, talking about God's love and everything. Of course I believe in prayer." And he turned to his father and he says, "Dad, do you believe in prayer?" He said, "Sure." He said, "Well, then for God's sake, let's pray." And we went out into this little room on the back of our house, and I remember that this son sat between us. So that was wisdom. And he said, "I guess maybe I should do the praying." And he put his head down. And I couldn't believe the way he prayed. He said, "God, we thank you for the way Daddy leaves the toothpaste in his toothbrush and doesn't wash it out when he gets through. And we thank you, Lord, for the way when he undresses, he just drops his clothes right where they are and never picks them up. And we thank you for the way that if he does pick up his pants, he hangs it on Mother's closet door and she can't get into the closet without it hitting her in her face." And he went on and on and on because from Sunday to Wednesday, he had heard just one thing after another. And he thanked God for every single one of these things. And then when he got to the end, he says, "God, we thank you for these things because that's what makes Daddy, Daddy." Well, that's the first time it started getting to me a little bit. I was just saying, "Yay, yay," you know. And then he started in on me. And he could remember a few little things that had been verbalized about me. And I was listening to him. And they sounded so different when this beautiful son was saying, "And God, we thank you for the way Mother has such a hard time in the house, and she never seems to get the house clean from one end to the other." I mean, it almost sounded like he was accepting it, and God was forgiving me, you know. And he went on, and he went on, and he went on, and I listened to these things. And what was happening as he was saying them, there was something in me that was kind of beginning to accept that part of me. Hopefully not to accept it and condone it, but to be able to see it and to say, "Ruth, it's all right. Don't be so frustrated." I'd had a real good friend who had committed suicide not too long before that because she was such a lousy housekeeper and she felt such a failure as a mother. She was an artist. She was beautiful in many ways, but she couldn't cope and she couldn't function. And one night she just took a life. And so it was meaningful to me to hear him say these things about me. And then when he finally got through, he says, "And God, that's the reason we thank you for all these things, because that's Mother. And that's what makes Mother, Mother." And so I was beginning then to be able to accept a little bit more within myself, and in turn, accept a little bit more in my husband. these irritating qualities. I forget it now sometimes. I forget it in my friends. I forget it in other people. But we're the only ones that we have to really look to and look at and be willing to change. There's something that happens when we allow God to work within our life and change us. There's something that happens out there to the other people that come around us. This same son that I was talking about, Scotty, probably one of the greatest thorns in my flesh in my whole life. I've had 4 children. I could talk for a year on each one. My oldest one was kind of nice, kind of did everything right. My second, my third, and my fourth, when they hit that age of about 13, it was like everything turned upside down. Any of you have 13-year-old children? Well, I don't know why, but my other two, when they hit 13, it was kind of a bad year. You know, a lot of transition, rebellion, testing parents, and so forth. Usually they began to grow out of it by the time they were 14. Scotty hit it at 13. At 14, he was worse. And at 15, he was unbearable. And by the time he was 16, I was thinking that he'd never grow out of it for the rest of his life. And as I've said before, I could hardly even be spiritual around him. He irritated me so badly. And I used to say, well, if I can hang in there, someday he'll go off to college and he'll be their problem. But that was about 2 more years, and I didn't think I could stand it. And during this period of this time, I went to a meeting. A friend of mine was speaking on a subject that we had battled about a whole lot. It was Merlin Carruthers. We used to be in a prayer group together. And I used to say, thank God for everything. And he used to say, no, you thank God in the midst of everything. Well, finally, he decided you thanked God for everything, and I said, well, Merlin's right, you thank God in the midst of everything. We switched completely. Well, he came back from Vietnam, and I hadn't seen him since he came back, and he had written a book on thank God for everything. Some of you probably have read it, Prison to Praise. Well, anyway, I went to Raleigh because I wanted to see my good friend, and I sat there and he said, thank God for everything. Thank God for everything. Well, all I could think about during his whole sermon was how aggravated I was with Scotty for all these things he had done before I left to go to the meeting. So after the meeting was over, it was a long drive back home. I didn't get back home till about 12 o'clock, and I had said to my husband, do you think we could thank God for everything that Scotty does? And he didn't think it was possible that he could mean it, but he could do it. So we agreed that we were going to start that night when we got home. And no matter what he did, no matter what he said, no matter how he acted, we were going to thank God for it. So we walked in that door, and as we came in the door, the first thing was a gallon of milk sitting on the breakfast room table. This was a little episode that I guess maybe probably 200 times a year. I said, don't leave the milk out. Put the milk back in the refrigerator because the whole gallon will spoil. And that was sitting out. So I turned to my husband and I says, come a minute. I said, I thank God that he left this gallon of milk sitting out on that table. And I was so shocked in saying it that I didn't even think about waking him up like I usually would do to make him get up and put it back. I just put the top on, put it in the refrigerator. And my husband walked into the other room and he says, Ruth, come a minute. He said, I just praise Jesus that he left his clothes, a different piece of clothes on every piece of furniture in the whole living room. And he went around and he grabbed them up one after another into a big pile. And instead of doing his usual thing, which was to snatch Scotty out of the bed and say, get your clothes up out of that living room, he just dropped them in a little pile down in the side of the floor by his door. We went down the hall and it was, praise you, Jesus, that he didn't go to bed hungry. And as we turned off every light in the house, down to the bathroom, it was, well, thank you, Lord. He took a good bath before he went to bed because there's an inch of water on the floor and all the towels in the middle of it. And you know, by then, I was about to have a heart attack. I was so angry with him, and I was so angry at having to thank God and not being able to ventilate all this emotion on him, you know. And I climbed in the bed, and my husband said, you know, Ruth, tomorrow is going to be one of the most glorious days of your life, so you just relax. I said, well, I need a good day. I said, what's going to make it so good? He said, it's Sunday. And you're going to be thanking God all day because Scott is going to be home all day long. And sure enough, that's the way it was from the time we got up until that night. And when we got ready to go to bed, oh, we were having dinner at the table. Scotty came by there and he said, when you two get through eating, I'd like to have a little conference with you out in the library. So we walked out there immediately and he said, and this is a thing that was just so profound. He said, Mother, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but I just want to confess to you and Dad that I've been in a very rebellious attitude for the last few years. I said, really? He said, I don't know exactly what's caused it, but he said, everything that I was told to do, I've done the opposite. He said, you know, I've hated school, I've hated my teachers, I've hated life. I don't know what I want to do in the future, so I hate the future. He said, but you can't be ugly to teachers. You got to have good grades. And you can't be ugly to your classmates because you got to have friends. And he said, the only ones I could take it out on were those of you here at home. And he said, I've been ventilating all my rebellion here at the house. He said, you'd tell me to come in at 10 o'clock and I'd sit up on top of the hill until 10:30. Because it just did something good for me. He said, I'd have kicked Michael's top bunk when he went to sleep. I'd lay there and stay awake myself till he got sound asleep so I could wake him up again. He went on and on and on to tell us even more things that we didn't even know. But he said, I've made up my mind today that I don't want to be that kind of person. He said, Mother, I want to take the garbage out for you. I want to help you in the kitchen. He said, Dad, if you don't have a kennel boy on Saturday, I want to come down there and work for you. He said, I'm going to help Michael with his homework. And he just went on into all this, and I was saying, oh, God, thank you. You know, if we just have this peace 24 hours, it's just worth everything. And he was serious. The next day, he tried real hard. And the next day, and you know, he was faithful to that commitment he made to us.
This talk is continued on the second side of this cassette.
After I saw that it was for real, and there'd been just a complete change in this young boy's personality, I was talking to Dr. Crummy, who's a local psychiatrist in my hometown, a friend of mine, and I was telling him about this thing that happened. And I said, can you imagine what could have happened that he would change so drastically in one 24-hour period? And the doctor said to me, Ruth, who changed first? How drastic was your change? And I thought to myself, yeah, I changed completely. He said, well, what was happening to this young man? He said, in his rebellion, he was hitting against a wall, which was the family. And he said, your reaction to him was hostility, and so you were hitting back, sometimes verbally and sometimes non-verbally. And he said, it just made a brick wall for him, and he was just beating and beating constantly. He said, when you two decided to thank God for everything, this was a non-verbal affirmation saying, I love you unconditionally. No matter if you leave the milk out, no matter if you don't hang up your clothes, no matter what you do, I love you unconditionally because you didn't say anything. And he said it came from that heart level. He said, you were giving this child unconditional love. And I thought to myself, that's what I've been preaching in the pulpit. Perfect love casts out all negative. Love that person as they are, and God will do the changing. Jesus Christ was the expression of perfect love, and that's our ultimate goal, that we allow Him to change us. But isn't it hard? It is so hard to give thanks, to accept circumstances, to trust God in the midst of whatever, no matter what the situation is. When the pain hurts, say, God, I thank you for this experience because good can come out of it. I do not believe that God wills evil in any way. Not illness, not pain, not suffering. We draw these things to us and we bring these things on ourselves. But God will allow anything in our life if it's going to be an aid in any way to bring us to ourselves, that we may be changed to be that expression of love. And the longer we resist, and the longer we fight against circumstances, and the longer we fight against people, and the longer we wait to forgive those that have hurt us, the longer we're going to have those blocks built within us that's going to bring that negative to us. My ministry has been for some years inner healing, dealing with those pains of the past, dealing with that within us, the fears and the frustrations and the feelings of inferiority, those voids of love within us. And I have found that Jesus Christ is a healer of the subconscious. Jesus Christ is a healer of our spiritual life. Jesus Christ is a healer of the physical body. We seem to know more about our spiritual life and needs and the physical needs than we do the subconscious emotional needs. But if you can get your attitudes transformed from all of the negative that you feel into those positive, loving, accepting, affirming attitudes, you're going to find that your spiritual life will soar. And you're going to find that your physical bodies are going to begin to go through that healing process. And you're going to become a whole person. And so tonight, I'd like to take you through a prayer. And let Jesus Christ walk through some of the life that you have lived, asking him to touch some of the hurts that you've had and experienced. It may be a new kind of prayer for some of you. But I can tell you that he will be faithful. If you'll open your heart to him, the Holy Spirit will bypass your mind and go right to those hurts within that little child within you. You know, so oftentimes, because I still see so much imperfection in my life, sometimes I get discouraged when I see myself have a violent temper tantrum or say something ugly. I really fussed at somebody the day at the airport the day I left to come here. Was it just yesterday? Day before yesterday? I'm still grieving over it. And I still haven't gotten to the bottom of why I just got so mad with that person in the airport. And sometimes I get down on myself. And when I do, one of my children, if they hear me, they say, "Mother, you have just forgotten. You don't realize that when you are at your worst now, you are a lot better than you used to be when you were at your best." So as we pray tonight, you probably won't experience an awful lot, because this is the way healing of the deep subconscious or the emotions of the heart is. But your attitudes may be a lot different a week from now. You may find that you can be a little more loving to that child that irritates you. Or you can be a little more understanding and considerate of that husband or that wife or that mother-in-law. So let's turn our hearts to Jesus for a few minutes. And just get comfortable and just relax. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence here in this room. And as we breathe in Holy Spirit. And as we breathe out love, God's love. And so, Father, we ask that that love move around and about each one of us. And that as we breathe in deeply, that that love moves to that deepest center of our being. Holy Spirit, We know that you have a unique relationship with each one of us. You see our hearts. You see that place of hurt. You see that need in our life. Holy Spirit, as you concentrate on that physical body within us, we ask that your Spirit begin to move into every cell within our bodies. We ask that new life come into those cells. And if there are any disease cells, we thank you for making them whole and well. And as these cells begin to be revived, we thank you that they come into that perfect order. We thank you for the healing of that organ within our bodies. And those of you right now that need physical healing, if you can just put your hand anywhere near that area that needs healing, or if you can't touch that place, just put your hand on your heart, and God knows where that area is. And Lord Jesus, we look to you now as the divine healer of the physical body. Flood us with your Holy Spirit. Move us into that realm by which we can respond to that life of the Spirit, to that God wholeness right now, and heal our bodies. Heal those eyes, the ears. Heal that heart. Lord Jesus, where there is bursitis, where there's pain from arthritis, we thank you for that healing. And as you think of that part of your body, just in the name of Jesus, affirm it. Lord Jesus, I claim my healing right now. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Lord Jesus Christ, you know the hearts of those of us who have felt so distant from you. Lord, we've reached out to you, but we haven't been able to feel that we could touch you. We haven't been able to feel that oneness with you. Father, there are some of us who've said, Jesus, come into my heart. And we've never known that you really did. And we've tried to walk by faith, but we don't feel like we truly belong. So, Lord Jesus, look at our hearts and our life. Lord Jesus, we know that you died on the cross for us, that you shed your blood for us, that you took every sin that we ever have committed and ever will commit, and you hung it over your head on the cross. And we claim this right now in the name of Jesus. So if there are those of you that feel that you've had a broken relationship with Jesus, right now claim his forgiving love. If there is any disobedience that you've committed toward him that you know of, just say, Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. And now just allow his love to wash away all that in the past that you've ever done in disobedience to him. And he wants to make us clean and white and pure. And now, Lord Jesus, as you've touched our physical bodies and you've touched our spirits, bring us into that union with you, that oneness with you. And as we are one with you, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you see the hurts within our life, the pain we have experienced. Oh, Jesus, you know those relationships that have been broken. You know those that we've hurt. And you know those that have hurt us. And, oh, Lord Jesus Christ, let that healing balm of your love pour over those moments of hurt and pain, those experiences that make us cry in the night, those that we've loved that it's painful to think of anymore. Jesus, move back through the memories of our past. And Lord Jesus, move back into our experience of the little child. And Lord, as we are one with you now, we come to you like a little child asking for help. And we feel that you'll help us even more because we come as a little child. You said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for thine is the kingdom of heaven. And so as you sit in the arms of Jesus, if you can just really be childlike enough, just imagine that Jesus literally is holding you in his arms. And he's saying to you, my precious child, I know what you've experienced. I know the hurt that you've had. I know how much love you've needed that you've never gotten. I know about all the affirmations that you failed to get. I know the loneliness and the emptiness and the confusion. And as you sit here with Jesus, I want you to visualize your mother coming there with you and Jesus. Because your mother was one of the most significant people of your life. Maybe you remember her and maybe you don't. But as she comes before you, I want you to think of her in a different way than you've ever thought before. Look into her eyes. Look deep, deep within her eyes. And as you look into her eyes, I know you probably can sense that your mother had hurt that you never were aware of. Your mother had frustrations and she sensed guilt within her life. And just say to her, Mother, it's okay. Mother, I know you were the best mother you could be under the circumstances of your needs. Mother, I thank you for all that you ever did for me. I thank you for holding me to your breast. I thank you for changing my diapers. I thank you for feeding me before I was able to feed myself. I thank you for all the times you washed and ironed my clothes. And Mother, I forgive you for those times when you were short of patience. I forgive you for your frustration. I forgive you for the lack of love that I sometimes assumed was not there. And Mother, forgive me. Just turn to your mother and just say, Mother, forgive me for all that I might have ever done to hurt you. And then just see, if you can, just visualize or think of yourself going into your mother's arms and let her hold you up close. And Lord Jesus, as we sit here with our mothers, we ask for a miracle. We ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you be perfect forgiveness in this mother-child relationship, that your Holy Spirit move into the deepest part of the being of these two, into the deepest heart level, and heal every hurt that has ever been there. And we claim this in your name. And now, since your mother walking away, and since your daddy now, just visualize or think of your daddy coming before you. And as your daddy comes, this man walks over to where you are with Jesus. And as you look at him, I'm sure you all see different expressions and you feel different emotions toward daddy. But look into his eyes, deeply into his eyes. He didn't really have it all together, did he? He was only a human being. And so many times he had to act so strong when he really wanted someone's head, shoulder to put his head on. And as you look at your daddy, just say, Daddy, I give you the freedom to be a human being. I give you the freedom, Daddy, not to have all the answers. Daddy, I forgive you for the times I wanted you to hold me and love me, and you just couldn't show me that emotion. I forgive you, Daddy, for the times I wanted to spend with you, just you and me, just doing fun things together, and you were too busy. It's all right, Daddy. And Daddy, I want you to forgive me for any time I ever failed you. Forgive me. And let your daddy now hold his arms out. and go into your father's arms and let him whisper, I love you. I love you. And if you can say it back to him, just say, Daddy, I love you too. And Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that your Spirit move into the deepest part of the subconscious within us and heal that relationship. Remove all of those negative emotions that were caused over those first 5 years. And fill us with love and warmth and security. And now just see your daddy walking off. And now, Lord Jesus Christ, we know that you say to each one of us, I want to give my life to you. And Jesus, we know that you say to each one of us, I want you to give your life to me. And Jesus, we do know that you want to be flesh of our flesh and bone of our bone, shepherd of our life. And so as we begin this morning, this evening, to draw into that closer relationship with you, we ask that you stay close with us through this process of growing into that relationship whereby we will come to the place that we know, as Paul says, that nothing will ever separate us from your love. Nothing in the past, nothing in the future, nothing in heaven and nothing on earth. Nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I think we should now have a time of silent prayer when we just let the Holy Spirit work in us, praying, continuing to pray, and think of the words we've been hearing.
Thank you.
down.
Just like if we could say a prayer for two things, one for Ruth's continuing healing ministry. She's going on to various Middle East countries after this with Cliff, and then they go to various countries in the Far East, and we could perhaps just say a little prayer altogether, I think, that may God may bless her journey. Jesus, we just thank you for having brought Ruth among us, and we lift her and Cliff up to you, and we offer them to you and their journey to the Middle East and the Far East. Jesus, protect them from all harm and all evil, all attacks of the devil. Fill them with your healing love, spirit, mind, and body. Strengthen them. Send your Holy Spirit upon them and anoint them for their work, their mission, the preaching of your word, the healing of people in your name. We pray for their ongoing ministry, Lord, when they return to America. They may be more and more filled with your spirit, anointed with your spirit, to bear ever more fruit for you. And perhaps we could say at this time to a prayer for Ruth's brother, President Carter, that he may be led more and more by the light and love of the Spirit in these difficult times. Lord, we thank you that the President of the United States is such a committed Christian. And we offer him to you and his heavy responsibilities. And Jesus, send your Holy Spirit upon him and anoint him ever more powerfully with gifts of wisdom and discernment, knowledge and understanding. May he be led by the light and love of your Holy Spirit in everything. May he be your instrument for the spreading of peace and justice in the world. Yes, Lord, we pray for peace and justice throughout the whole world. We pray for all the statesmen of the world. They may turn to you, that they may be led by the light and love of your Spirit. We pray for our own country. We pray for the renewal of Christians, for the unity of Christians, for the conversion of people to Jesus. We pray for peace and justice in our own country. We pray, Jesus, for the spreading of your ministry of healing in this land. We ask this for your service, for your glory, for the honor of your name, that people may know you as Lord. Now let us say together the prayer our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
This evening you've been able to hear the Word of God and the expression of the light of Christ from Ruth. St. Paul said that we hold this glory, the glory of Christ, in earthen vessels. I'm convinced the reason why God uses Ruth so singularly is because she's willing to acknowledge that her vessel has been broken. And quite often the light shines best through broken vessels. Many of you have come here with deep needs. You've come with the feeling that you've prayed often and you've not realized results. Now, if, as you stand in the presence of the living Christ, because really you've come to see him and to hear him this night, I've often thought the reason why he doesn't show himself visibly is because we'd be so awed by his presence, so overwhelmed by the majesty of his visible presence, that we wouldn't be able to reflect adequately upon our need. But as we are in his presence, in that one millisecond of faith, because there is more power to heal your body and your mind and your very soul in this room than there is physical light. And it's only for you and me in that moment to say yes to that. Now, we're beyond that place where we believe that necessarily one has to have the touch of another person. You remember how Jesus honored the centurion who asked that he would heal his servant. And when Jesus proceeded down the path toward this man's home, he sent messengers back saying, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Simply say the word, and my servant will be healed. I have people under authority, and I say to them, go, and they go, and I tell them to come, and they come, and I know that you're a man of authority, under authority, and simply speak the word, and I know you'll be healed." Some of you tonight have heard Jesus speak the word, and you know that you're healed, and continue to affirm it. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll be healed. You notice he didn't say a grain of sand. Mustard seed is something that is alive and growing. So if you, where you are, believe, then continue to affirm and accept that healing, even though the symptoms speak otherwise. And the Lord will honor you with more experiences to confirm that healing, or will lead you to the root cause that keeps you from realizing the healing. But for some of you, as you wait in silence, as we go into prayer, you do know that you need the prayer of faith. As Paul said to Timothy, "Stir up the gift of God which you received when I laid my hands upon you." We're not saying that everybody shouldn't have that touch of faith. We're just saying it isn't necessary in most cases. But if, as we close and we go into prayer, and you wish to have the touch of faith, we invite you to come. And we shall pray over you that the Holy Spirit may complete that good work he's begun in your desire for wholeness. So I'm going to ask you all once again to stand. And in silence, as with your eyes closed, you see the presence of Jesus here. See it however faintly, he's here. "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them." Lord Jesus, we thank you that we're so honored as to have your presence. Blessed, healing Lord and King, we thank you so. We thank you that you're touching each one of us here. But, O Lord, we know that because your Holy Spirit dwells within us, we dare to come as your surrogates. We dare to extend our hand as your nail-scarred hand to those who need the touch of faith. But, O Lord, for those who are ready, complete that work and touch them now and send them on their way with rejoicing and thanksgiving that their emotional need is satisfied, or you are walking with them until that satisfaction is fully realized. We thank you, Holy Jesus, that your Spirit is breathing upon sick and damaged cells, and that you are healing in this moment, in this very moment, bodies that must be healed. And we thank you, O Lord, that you're entering the lives of those who have hungered and thirsted after you and now come to the water of life and drink deeply, knowing that ugly, filthy, leprous lips may touch this stream of divine love, which is your life, knowing that they cannot pollute it, but will themselves be made whole. We thank you that they are drinking in this moment. And we pray that you will with the guidance of your Spirit, lead those who must be blessed with the touch of faith and heal them in that way. And now for all of you who have come here to receive the Word of God, I leave you with the benediction of Christ. Peace be unto you. His peace be yours always. Go in that peace. And those of you who have need to receive the prayer of faith, we invite you to come to the front as the others depart. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to sing while those who want to leave do so. So let's stay standing up. It's much easier then for people to get out between the rows. Those who are going, we'll sing, Lord Jesus Christ, you have come to us. You are one with us. Number 12.
Audiovision cassette number OD45. Further copies may be obtained from our Enfield office. We are happy to say that we now are able to make available a number of other recordings made by Ruth Carter Stapleton in America. If you would like details of these and the many other cassettes that we have, please contact us at Christian Audio Vision Services Limited, 171 Chase Side, Enfield, telephone 363-6125. God bless you.